But you know what? God, the Holy Spirit, dwells on the inside of you. The Bible says that the eyes are the window to the soul. And I believe Jesus likes to peek out our windows sometimes. Amen? And that people can see Jesus in your eyes. Just look at the person next to you and just look and say, see Jesus in their eyes. Come on. You can just see Jesus in there. If you look in their eyes, you can see Jesus. I've experienced this to a degree while out soul winning. You know, I have talked to literally thousands of people out on the streets, and it's given me an interesting perspective, and many of you the same thing. That as you go out soul winning and you meet people on the street, just total strangers, you go up to thousands of people, it's amazing how you can go up to a person and you can tell instantly by looking at their face whether they are born again or not. I mean, it is an amazing thing. It really does show on your countenance. Yes, it does. And it's amazing, too, the difference that you see and the change of people that were not born again to those that call upon the name of the Lord, believe in their heart, confess with their mouth, and how their countenance changes immediately. It is amazing. And to me, it's a sign and a wonder. And I would say if it's done, it's only solidified my faith and belief that Jesus on the inside should work and show up on our outside. Amen? And I'm telling you, you draw out of the wellsprings of life. You draw out and you draw out of the wells of salvation, and you let what's on the inside just begin to flow. The Bible says, out of your bellies will flow rivers of living water. And that word bellies didn't necessarily mean just your belly, but the center of your being, from the very center of you. That's where the joy of the Lord comes out. And that joy is your strength. And so you can be strengthened just by rejoicing and being in the joy of the Lord. Strength comes, health comes, life comes, peace comes. As you get out of here, but get into here. And stop thinking about the problems and start meditating on Jesus. It's amazing how whenever we magnify the Lord, the Bible says, let us magnify the Lord. Let's make Him so big. Let's just talk about the Lord. I love to do that. I love to just talk. Some people like to talk about football, and some people like to talk about sports and music and all those things, and those things are wonderful. I like to talk about those things too, but nothing stirs my passion more than when you start talking about God. My wife will tell you, whenever we first started courting, and we were real early on, I think the first time I ever grabbed her hand was when she started talking about the Lord. We were in this beautiful park sitting on a bench. And I remember as she started talking about God, and we at that point, I said, oh, let me tell you. And it got me excited, and I realized I had grabbed her hand. And she was kind of like, ooh. And we felt the anointing as we were talking about the Lord. Did not our hearts burn within us? Because when you start magnifying God and you start talking about the Lord, boy, then there's a common bond. Then there's something that just starts to take place when two believers, in fact, the Bible talks about how they spoke often of the Lord, and there was an angel that wrote down what they said as they began to talk about the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell them, if you want to get angels' attentions, just start talking about the Lord. And they say, wait, we better write this down. I don't know about the Cowboys, but we're going to write this down. I don't know about the politics, but we're going to write this down. They're talking about the Lord. As you just begin to discuss and rehearse what the Lord has done for you, your problems get smaller and smaller as you magnify the Lord. He gets bigger and bigger. And sometimes you just have to stop and make a conscious effort. I know sometimes we think that it's something that just has to come up naturally or supernaturally for it to happen. You know, too many times we just sit there and say, and every once in a while, just the Spirit of the Lord moves upon us, and then we start just talking about the Lord, or we start flowing in the gifts. But you know, you can stir up those gifts. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gifts that are in you. Don't wait for them to be stirred themselves. Don't wait for somebody to come stir you up. Stay stirred yourself. And you know, I like being with people that are stirring up their gifts and they're flowing in those giftings. And whenever two people that are stirred up get together, well, it just makes a Holy Ghost tornado. That just comes through the devil's trailer park, you know. Starts tearing up his mess. Starts cleaning house. Tell you what, you start talking about the Lord. That's what we're doing here tonight. We're just magnifying God. We're talking about what God wants. What does God want? That's the title of my message. What God wants. What God wants. Let's talk about what God wants tonight. What does He want? Lord, what do You want? Have you ever asked God that as a praise and worship leader? That's something I've done many times where before I sit down and make a song list, I've learned to just say, Lord, what do You want us to sing tonight? Lord, what do You want to hear? You know, so many times we're playing for people. And we ask, you know, people say, well, I don't really like that song. And, you know, oh, could you play this one? And that's good. You know, if people, there's songs that minister to your heart. But really, worship is about Him. And it's good to say, to sit down and say, Lord, what do You want to sing tonight? Lord, what do You want to hear tonight? What would bless You? I'm here to bless the Lord. And as a minister, as I preach, I stop and I say, Lord, what do You want me to preach tonight? And there have been many times where I didn't have a word. And I had nothing to preach. And I'm like, I don't have anything, God. And then it's like God just says, well, have You asked me? And I said, well, no. Why don't you just ask? Okay, God, what do You want me to say tonight? Well, I'm glad You asked. This is what I... And then all of a sudden the words just come. And the scriptures and what God is speaking comes immediately. It's amazing. Happens so often. But we many times forget to ask God, what do You want? Lord, what do You want? I've learned, in whatsoever state I am, to be content. And being married has really helped me in saying, what do You want? Because our flesh, its nature is to want what I want. I want what I want. It's human nature. It's why babies cry when they don't get their bottle. It's why they cry when they don't get what they want. And even little ones, as they get older, and they just throw a fit and they'll stomp their feet. I want what I want. It's like my dad, when he was a little baby, he was in the crib, and my aunt, his aunt, said that she came in one time and looked at him, and as he was laying in his crib, he took his little bottle and he held it up to her, and he goes, hot it. Hot it. You know, we don't want to be spoiled babies in the spirit. Well, we're telling God everything we want. God, You do this and You do that. She said she took that bottle out of his hand and said, buddy, when you can order it, you can get it yourself. You know, no more. That was the last time you had the bottle. But sometimes just saying, what do You want, Lord? God, what do You want? What do You want me to do today? What would You like for me to do? Another thing to ask, God, where do You want me to go? You know, a lot of times people think they can just go wherever they want to and do whatever they want to because it's America, it's a free country. But we are not our own. We are bought with a price. As Charlie read scripture this morning, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And it kind of amazes me when I hear people that just talk about their life like, well, I'm going to go do this and go do that. Well, have you asked the Lord about that? Well, no. Well, I haven't really thought about it. Well, I just don't like this church anymore, so I'm going to that church over there. It's like this guy who was on a desert island. He was there for many years. They finally found this guy, and as they got there, they noticed there were these little huts on the island. And as they were giving him food and all these things and getting him ready to go, they said, "Hey, we noticed the huts that are here. Could you tell us what these are?" He said, "Well, this is my house that I built out of bamboo and all these things." And then they said, "Well, what? I noticed this other little hut over here. There was three huts. What's this one over here?" He said, "Oh, that's a church that I built. I love to worship God, so I built a little church over here on this one." And they said, "Well, what's this other building over here that you built?" He said, "Oh, that's the church I used to go to." You know, we act like we can just go wherever we want to and do whatever we want to based on external circumstances many times. And sometimes the most ridiculous things people are led by, you know, something like the wallpaper or the carpet or the sound or the lights or whatever it may be that causes people to determine why they go where they go. You know, too, if you look at the story of Ruth and Naomi, God ended up working that out for good. But you know, there was a famine, so they just took off and left and lost everything while they were gone. And the whole family left. And while they were gone, every male in the family died. And I just think, man, maybe they shouldn't have gone. You know, maybe they just shouldn't have gone. Now, God worked it out for good and ended up blessing Ruth and Naomi. And they got their stuff back and everything worked out and were blessed. But many times we move with no conscious thought about what God might want for our lives or even asking. What does God want? And I just think that's something that's important. The Lord's been speaking to me lately about, and there are certain things that God's been speaking to me about His house. And number one, that God wants His house to be a house of prayer. I've just got a few things here. This isn't everything God wants. We don't have time for that. Because, you know, God wants every good and perfect gift in your life. God wants you healed. He wants you blessed. He wants you all these things. But God wants His house to be known as a house of prayer. Mark 11:17, He taught, saying unto them, Jesus said, "Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you've made it a den of thieves." You made it something other than what I want. And anytime you make God's house something other than what God wants it to be, you're in error and you're wrong. He's got to start coming over and turning over tables. And He might need to turn some tables in your life. If you've made church a place where you just come and get your groove on because you like the music, you've made it something other than what God has made it. If you make it a place where you just come to get good coaching and good information on how to get rich, then you've made church something other than what God meant for it to be. Or if you make church, that's where I go get fellowship and have friends, and it's all about my friends, and well, if my friends go there, then I'll go there, but they go over here, then I go over here. You've made church something other than what God meant for it to be. It's not a social club, although that's involved. Being social is involved. The fellowship of the brethren is involved. But it's God's house. What does He want for His house? Another thing, God wants His house to be filled with people. It's what God wants. Luke 14:23. The Lord said unto the servant, "Go out into the highways, the hedges, and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled." God wants His house filled. He wants every seat filled in this place. And He tells us to go out and do that. And so in prayer, we're communicating with God and we're connecting with Him. But in outreach, we're communicating and connecting with man and others. And many times that can be the hardest thing for us to do. It can be something that maybe your flesh naturally doesn't want to do, is go talk to strangers. But that's something that God has commanded us to do. It's important that we go talk to strangers. It's important that we go up to people that we don't know and initiate a conversation and connect them with Jesus. As we are connected with God and we connect with them, we are connecting them to God. And it's vital, it's important. What does God want? He wants us to go out and compel them. I love how he said, go out in the highways and the hedges. That means go out in the bushes and literally pull them out of the bushes if you have to. Go out there and get people off the roads with their signs that say, hey, we'll work for food. Say, hey, why don't you go to church for food? Come on, get in, I'll feed you. Bring them in. Let's fill this place. However you got to do it. Whoever you can get in here. One way that we have for outreach is called Fall Fest. We have that coming up Saturday. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a blessing. We're going to pack out this parking lot right out here. It's going to be full. It's another step closer to getting people in the sanctuary. It's getting them on the property. Amen. They're on God's property. And the anointing of God is here. We're going to give an altar call. I believe that the anointing is going to touch people's lives. And they're going to know where to go to church when disaster strikes. Or whenever all of a sudden they say, we've got to get to church. Where can we go? Remember that place we went to, that church? Where we felt and experienced the love of God in a powerful way. That one lady at the candy trunk out who, whenever she gave us that candy, I saw something in her eyes that just impacted me. That Jesus shone through their countenance, and we knew they were God's disciples because they had love one for another. How can you be involved? How can you help? We have people that will be doing game booths. At letting kids win prizes and have fun and do all those things. It's fun in God's house. Amen? It's fun in His house. He said, let the little kids come to me. We're going to have a bunch of little kids coming here this Saturday from 6 to 8:30. There's going to be a petting zoo. Amen? It's going to be fun. It'll be great. But the ultimate goal is to get them in the sanctuary and to get them in here focused on God and to not just be plugged into us, but to be plugged into Him. So God wants His house to be filled. God wants there to be meat in His house. That's another thing. He wants there to be meat in His house. Malachi 3:10, bring all the tithes in the storehouse so that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now and just see if I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing that there's not even room enough to contain. That's what I want for your life. And a lot of people look at that and say, oh, God wants my money. Look at the last part of that. So that I can open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there's not room enough to contain. God doesn't want your money. He wants you to have money. God wants you super abundantly blessed, and He knows He cannot bless you until you start blessing. Until you stop robbing God. And think about this. When everyone tithes, there is enough to get done what God wants to get done. If everybody, some people say, well, I just don't make that much money, or, you know, I'm not making much right now, or, you know, I got laid off and I just have a little income. You can give 10% regardless of where you are financially at any time in life. God has made sure of that. And it said, in fact, He said, prove me now and just see if you won't have enough. If I won't, and it may look like you won't. It may look like you're going backwards, but if you'll trust God with that and say, Lord, I'm giving you the tithe, watch what will happen. God will always cause it to work for your good, and you'll have more than enough. Everybody can tithe. I've known people that tithed off of their food stamps that they got. It's not a time, if you're in a hard time financially, it's not the time to say, well, let's cut the tithe. Well, let's not give to God anymore. That's just not the thing to do. God calls, as Pastor Bob Nichols says, for accurate tithing, which is 10%. God calls for consistent tithing all the time, all your life. I wonder if ministers tithe, you know. Do ministers tithe? Yes, we tithe and more and give. I would say if anybody should give most, it should be ministers. You got to practice what you preach. You got to do. You got to be an example. And you've got to model God's word so that people can see it and God be glorified in that. You represent the Lord. And as a Christian, it's important to model a giving lifestyle to the world and for them to see. And they may not understand giving, but they understand receiving. And when you're receiving, they're going to say, well, maybe it works. It's like, guarantee you it works. God provides. Tithing is the principle of putting God first. It's trusting God that He'll do what He said. You know, just trusting God is an amazing thing. That's how you get anything from the Lord. Whenever you don't trust God, you are calling God a liar. Think about that. Most people don't realize that. But when you say something contrary or do something contrary to God's word, you are calling God a liar. That's not good. In Texas, you don't just call somebody a liar. How much more in heaven? How much more the God of the universe? He says, give and it shall be given. And you say, I don't believe that. I don't think I should give because I don't really believe it'll be given back to me. Are you calling God a liar? I hope not. You shouldn't be, because He's not. You got to trust God. Trust Him. He will do what He said. And really, if you think about it, if you can't trust God with your finances, how can you trust Him with your eternal soul? Which is worth so much more. Your eternity. How can you really believe there's a heaven if you can't even believe enough to trust God with your finances? Or to trust God with anything He said in the Word. Just trust Him. Praise God. So God can only pour out to you in the measure that you pour out to others. Luke 6:31 says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. As you would have people do to you, do to them. It's simple. It's easy. What do you want? What would you want done for you? Think about that. Go and do likewise. Well, I'd kind of like to get a gift for my birthday. Well, then give somebody a gift for their birthday. It's simple. What would you like done for you? I remember one time we were on vacation. We were going to Colorado. One of the few vacations our family had because we had 9 kids, okay? So we didn't go very often. And we took this one vacation up to Colorado. We rented this van. As we're driving in this big 15-passenger van up to Colorado, we get outside of Amarillo, almost to Amarillo, and the van breaks down. The transmission goes out. We're like, no, we're stuck on the side of the road for our vacation. So we had to call the tow truck. They came and towed us all in the van. We're riding in this van in the tow truck all the way to Amarillo. They pull us into a hotel. We get out. We go to the hotel, and they took the truck off the van off to a mechanic, and the mechanic said, well, for everything to happen to get fixed and parts and all this, it'll be at least 4 days of our 7-day vacation. So we spent 4 of our vacation days in Amarillo playing ping pong in a hotel. We got it fixed. It was a family reunion up there in Colorado that we were going to, and the rest of the family had already been up there for days. We got there in time to spend 1 day there and then come back. It was like seeing heaven and then having to come back to earth. And when we got back, the guy who owned the van rental place, he talked to Dad and he said, well, of course they had been on the phone discussing the repairs and all these things. He was very apologetic, the van rental place, and he asked Dad, he said, well, what do you want? And Dad said, all I'm asking, I'm not asking for anything unfair. He said, all I'm asking is for you to do for us what you would want done if that happened to you and your family. And the man looked at him and said, I tell you what I'll do. He said, I won't charge you. I'll refund all your money. I'll pay for your hotel bills. I'll pay for all your food, and you won't be out a dime. And Dad said, that's fair. That's generous. Thank you. And I learned something from that as a kid. I thought, man, I'm going to use that someday. Because if a person is honest and really will do unto others what they would want done for them, they'll do the right thing. You wouldn't cuss yourself out. I hope not. Some might. You got to love yourself to love others like you would love yourself. And look at Luke 6:32. For if you love those which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. You know, even gangsters love their families. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. If you lend to people who you hope to receive, what thank have you? Even banks do that. But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. Look at this. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Thank God. He's kind. He causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Look here at Luke 6:36. Be ye therefore merciful as your Father's merciful. Judge not and you'll not be judged. Condemn not and you'll not be condemned. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. Okay, so if you forgive, it'll be forgiven to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over. If you give mercy, you'll have mercy. Mercy, 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 pressed down, shaken together and running over. If you don't judge people or condemn them, you won't be condemned. Praise God, that's good news. I say, I'm going to do unto others. If I'll give and I start the process. It doesn't say, when you get, then give. You start the process. For with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. The same measure. So that's what we sow. We sow giving. We say, Lord, I want to do for others what I would want done for me. And watch it come into your life. I want to give the same mercy, the same grace, the same admiration, the same respect, the same honor that I would like to get. I want to give to others. I think that's wonderful. I think many times I have been the person that was up here catching, you know. And I think to myself, as I'm catching people, boy, I sure would like to have some help. And so I'll think, you know, I would want help. I'm going to go help. And so I'll be sitting there many times and I'll see if there's somebody catching. I think, you know, I would want help. So I'll go help because I know that's something I would want. Or if you're vacuuming the floor and you think, you know, if I was vacuuming that floor, I wouldn't want people throwing trash on the floor. I'm not going to throw trash on the floor. If I was a police officer, I would want somebody to be respectful and not give me a hard time and be have an attitude and everything with me. My job's hard enough as it is. If I did work, I would want to be paid on time. So it works in any area of life. As you think about what does God want? God wants you to do unto others what you would want them to do to you. And doesn't the world, isn't the world a better place when people act that way? Think about it. Isn't church a better place when everyone acts that way? You know, if somebody was sitting in my seat, or if I was sitting in their seat, I wouldn't want them to come up and say, "You're in my seat, move." I wouldn't want that. I'd be like, "Sure, no problem." And so I think about that. You know, if somebody's sitting in my seat, I'm not going to say, "Hey, y'all need to move." I say, "No, y'all have it. Don't move. No, you're fine. Y'all are fine." I wouldn't want to give somebody a hard time. We do that all the time. I've talked about this before. It's kind of funny whenever people say, "Oh, I'm just giving you a hard time." Like, why? Why can't you give me an easy time? Like, I don't have enough hard times as it is. You got to give me a hard time. You know, I don't like being made fun of, so why would I make fun of somebody else? Anyway, we could go on all night about that. What does God want? God wants for people to behave themselves. He wants people to behave themselves. And he wants people to behave themselves in church. As a kid, I grew up in church my whole life. And I had to behave myself in church. Because if I didn't, my dad was preaching from the pulpit because he was either an evangelist or he was a pastor. And so if I was cutting up, he would, in the middle of the service, say, Daniel, you need to come over here and sit with your mother. I'd be like, have to go sit down, and I would think, it's on tape too. I was listening to a teaching of my dad's not too long ago. Found a bunch of old tapes of his from the 80s. And as he was preaching, he stopped in the middle of his message, and I remembered what was happening in this specific time when he said, Billy, you need to go sit with your mother. He said to my brother, Billy, you need to go sit with your mother. And I remember what had happened was this drunk lady had come into the service. And as she came in the service, she came and sat down with my brother, who was not sitting with my mom. And she sat by him and put her arm around him and started petting his hair and breathing all on him and stuff. And Dad said, Billy, you need to go sit over there with your mother. He could see what was happening. My brother was like, what is wrong with this lady? Later, we found her drunk dog in the kitchen. No joke. Dr. Stumbo, her dog was drunk and was in the kitchen, the church kitchen. Like, you got to know how to behave yourself in church. You don't bring your drunk dog to church unless he wants to get healed. But Charlie got that. First Timothy 3:14, Paul said, these things I write unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, he said, so that you may know how you oughtest to behave yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. How you should behave yourself in church. Just do unto others as you'd want them to do. That covers it all right there. Hebrews 13:1, he said, let brotherly love continue. And get this, the Lord has been talking to me about this lately in numerous ways, and I don't know exactly how this comes into play or what or why, but we may find out. But the Lord's been stressing this to me, Hebrews 13:2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Be kind to strangers, because there have been many that they were kind to angels and didn't know it. Remember when Abraham was outside of his tent and Jesus, pre-incarnate Jesus, and two angels came, and he said, hey, let me get you something to eat. And he went and fixed him food, and he went and got him stuff, and he took care of him. And I thought, man, that's hospitality. He must have been from Texas. That's good old Southern hospitality. You be kind to people. You take care of them. Love on them. Don't be forgetful to entertain them. I was on Thursday, we were out handing out these flyers. We handed out 1,000 of these on Thursday. And all, like Walmart, we had 2 Walmart parking lots. And Aldi, I was at Sam's. And while I was at Sam's putting these on all the cars at Sam's, because it was not raining for that one day. We were trying to get them out as fast as we could before they all got wet. And so we put them on the cars, and I had a divine appointment with this guy and his wife, and just it was so powerful and awesome. And then he said, this guy wants to talk to you. And I turned around. There was a guy pulled up. He said, hey, I just want to shake your hand. You're from Calvary Cathedral. And I said, yeah, I was just telling these people about it. He said, yeah, I've seen you up there. You're one of the teachers. And I said, well, hey, man, God bless you. You want to come? I gave him a... And then another person... The person I was talking to again said, hey, now this lady wants to talk to you. And there was another lady. And I come over there and she was like, hey, I just want to tell you, you know, God bless you and everything with what you do. And I was just like, man, this is awesome. And the guy I was talking to thought, man, there's something to this. People know about this thing. It's like God's putting things together. And so as I finished there, I was walking away just in the presence of God, so happy and joyous. I said, God, it is so awesome how you set up divine appointments. And I'm putting it on this lady's car, and she comes up, this other lady, she comes up and goes, get that blankety blank out of here. And I was like, well, hey, just want to tell you about fault. She goes, no, no, no. And I was like, oh, okay, okay, all right. Well, hey, thank you. God bless you. Cuss me out. And you know, God immediately spoke to me and said, many have cussed out angels unawares. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, because many have cussed out angels unawares. Many people have been rude to angels unawares. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Think about that. Remember that society when those angels came into town and what the people were wanting to do to them and attack them? And the angels said, uh-uh, we ain't putting up with this. Boom. You're all blind. Let's get out of here. This place is getting torched right now. Tell you what. You don't be mean to angels. And you don't know who you're talking to. Many times, you might be talking to a servant of the Most High God. Don't be rude to them. If they come up to you, I've noticed nowadays, people are getting so rude and crude and just mean. You know, and people are getting hard-hearted and their love's growing cold. And a lot of times you'll go up to people's houses and they'll have these signs that say like, no soliciting, no religion, no politics, no nothing, go away. That's on their sign. And you're like, man, how will that person ever be reached? God himself couldn't get into that house. I don't know, I sent Richard a sign. Did you get that picture? You might check your media op email. I sent you a sign that we saw today. We were out today canning. We do this food drive, you know, to bring in food for the food drive, where we go out and we put bags in between services. It's about the only time we could do it with the kids. So we go out and we're putting these bags on all of the door handles of people's houses in our neighborhood, covering the whole neighborhood. And then we go back later in the week and they put groceries and food and stuff inside there. And then we come back and we pick it up and we put it all inside the truck and then we drive it here and we take it over to the school. Last year, I believe there was over like 57,000 canned food items that were brought in. 52, thank you. More than 52,000 canned food items came in last year alone. And over 500,000 canned food items have come in over the years through that process of going out, putting bags on people's doors. The kids love it. Because we drive through, it shows the people in your neighborhood that you care about the poor and that you love people. I don't know, Richard, are you able to find that picture? Just a minute? Okay, he's saying just a second. But as we were out, I saw this one sign. I just thought, now this is the coolest sign I've ever seen. I like to go out soul winning, and I like to take pictures of signs on people's houses. I don't know why, but there's always a sign on people's door of something, you know. And it may be something friendly, it may be something funny, it may be something mean. But I've noticed in a lot of neighborhoods, it's been getting increasingly mean. And I believe, again, it's a sign of the times. But Romans 12, 17, there it is. That was the sign. It says, and you can hardly read the top there, but it says, the only ghost that lives in this house is the Holy Ghost. The only ghost that lives in this house is the Holy Ghost. I thought, hey, that's awesome. Praise God, we didn't get a picture of that one. That was awesome. I say, you know, the only ghost that lives in me is the Holy Ghost. Amen. Me and the Holy Ghost. I'm not letting no demons or devils in. Not in my house. I'm not going to be demonic, rude, and crude. I'm not going to be mean to people and tell them you're not welcome. There was a lot of times you'll go to people's place, their foot mats. I don't know if it's a joke or what, but on one side it'll say welcome, on the other side it'll say go away. So you can flip it around however you want it. Go away. Love on people. Romans 12:17 says, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. As much as possible, live peaceably with all men. Now, some people, it's not possible. I have met some of those people. Whenever I was down here at the school board and they had that big transgender debate, I was standing there and there were people, these protesters. There are protesters that it is not possible to live at peace with them. And as they're chanting and shouting and screaming obscenities and all these things, and this one girl had a sign that just said, "My gender matters." And I did not know if it, what side that sign was on. My gender matters. So I just asked, I said, are you for the whole bathroom thing or are you against it? And blah, 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 she just tore into me screaming and all these things. And then this other guy jumps in between us and he goes, "Leave her alone. You don't touch her. You don't touch her." And he's yelling at you and they're cussing me out. And I was going like this. I felt like in basketball whenever they fake a foul, you know, and they just fall over and hit the floor and you're like, "I never touched the guy." That's how it was. I was shocked. I've never seen anything like that in my life. People cussing you out for talking to them, asking a question. I just didn't know, what, are you for this or against this? Some people you can't live at peace with. But it says, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceable with all men. But look at this, Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So what does God want? God wants vengeance. Not for you to take it. Don't you take it. Let God have it. Don't rob God of the vengeance. Some people say, "Well, I don't know, that God already poured out all the vengeance he's going to pour out." No, he didn't. There's more vengeance to come. Jesus said, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he sent me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach delivery to the captives, all these recovering of sight to the blind." And then Jesus stopped right there. But if you look in Isaiah, what he was quoting, he said, after that, to proclaim the day of the vengeance of our God. And that day hasn't come yet. The day of vengeance has not come fully. It hasn't fully come. It's still coming. He says, give place unto wrath. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So you can just say, "Hey, I just turn it over to God." Somebody does you wrong, if somebody's hateful, mean, does whatever, however bad they hurt you, you can love them, pray for them, and just back off and just say, "I'm going to let the Lord handle this." And he will. Whenever I was a kid growing up, if my brother hit me, and I hit him back, we both got spankings. But if he hit me and I went and told Dad, Dad had the vengeance. Vengeance is Dad's. It comes in the form of a paddle. Mark 6:11. Whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you, when you depart, then shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, listen to this. It shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. This is New Testament, not Old Testament. Jesus himself. It's going to be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah, for those people that don't receive you. So you can just shake the dust off of your feet. Of anybody that cusses you out or whatever, or hurts you, pray for them. They're going to need it. Some people, I've heard people lately, even people in church, even people on Facebook saying that there's no hell anymore. There are some people that I know, they don't believe there's a hell. They don't believe there's any judgment for the world. They believe that everyone's just going to be saved automatically because God isn't mean. That's what they say. They can reject Christ. Even people that reject Christ, God won't send them to hell because God's not a mean person. But John 15:5 says this, I am the vine, this is Jesus talking, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That sounds like hell to me. There's many references to being thrown in the fire and burned in the Bible. Don't tell me there's no hell. And some people again, well, but you don't understand. God is so nice. God is so loving that he would not send somebody to hell just because they don't receive Jesus Christ. And I say to them, well, boy, water is so mean. I can't believe water is so mean. It won't let anybody live that doesn't drink it. Or oxygen. Well, oxygen is so nice. Oxygen is so nice that if you don't breathe it, it'll still let you live. Go ahead. Stop breathing and oxygen will let you live just because it's so nice. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He can't help but be life. He can't help but be water. Come to me, all you that are thirsty, and drink. If you don't, you will die. That's not me being mean. It's just you being dumb. It's you being rebellious. It's you calling God a liar. How can God do that? Well, don't drink water. Don't breathe oxygen. See what happens. See how long that goes. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. Matthew 5:21, he said, you have heard where it was said of old time, thou shalt not kill, but whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, raka, or call his brother a worthless idiot, shall be in danger of the council, or the judge, or maybe a jury. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Again, hellfire. It talks about it. You don't want to be in danger of that. You don't want to sow that kind of seed. You want to sow mercy, forgiveness, love, compassion. If you don't forgive, God can't forgive you, and you're in danger of hellfire if you don't. Be careful who you cuss out. I was with somebody one time. They were driving. It's nobody here and no one that anyone here knows. Just so you won't think, I bet that was so-and-so. But I was with somebody one time in their car, and I was a passenger. As they were driving, this car came and pulled in front of us and cut us off. And this person said, you idiot! And I look over, and it was Big John Hall that cut us off. I told this story one time, and he was over here, and Big John Hall said, I repent. And I slumped down in my chair and I said, you just called Big John Hall an idiot. I was like, what are you doing? You just called one of the greatest men of all time an idiot, a man of God. Why would you do that? Be careful who you talk about like that. Who you cuss out or get mad at. You could be talking about a man of God. Remember what happened to Elijah when those kids were making fun of him and said, go up, Baldy. They were just calling him Baldy, and these she-bears came out and killed them all. They made fun of the wrong person. Now, I don't pray that anybody gets eaten by bears. I pray mercy and grace, and whenever people do wrong to me, it grieves my heart for them. And I say, oh God, please forgive them. Father, forgive them. Lord, they know not what they do. Lord, give them time to repent. God, give them space. Give them every opportunity to get right with you. I know that's what you want. God is not willing that any should perish. He's making it as available as possible, and I pray that they receive that. And maybe if I'll respond in love instead of hatred and instead of anger and yelling and cussing them out, maybe that will be a light to them if I come at them in the opposite spirit. Jude 1, 5 says this, for those that may say, well, there's no hell, there's no judgment or whatever. Jude 1, 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Again, New Testament, one of the last books of the Bible, second to last. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, okay, remember Egypt. Remember all those stories in the Old Testament. They're given to us for a reason. He said, remember Egypt. Afterward, he destroyed all those that believed not. They had come out of Egypt, and those that did not believe got destroyed. So don't tell me there's not going to be a judgment. Why would he be telling this in Jude about this if there was no judgment anymore? He said, remember that. They got destroyed for their unbelief. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, he's saying, now remember the story about the angels. How they left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness under the judgment of the great day. Why would he have said, remember the angels, how they're in everlasting judgment until that great day? Remember this, because you're going to be judged the same way. If you don't believe in Jesus Christ and be born again and be saved and ask him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, he's reminding us again of Sodom and Gomorrah in Judges 1:7, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Eternal fire. Everlasting. That's vengeance. And it's coming to those that do not believe. It's coming to unbelievers. And we have to believe that. We can't just say, well, I think God's pretty nice. God's a good guy. He'll just let everyone get saved, that even if they don't believe. No, we've got to go out. We've got to tell them. We've got to preach the gospel. We've got to save them literally out of the fires of hell. Likewise, also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. We see people doing that all the time. Be careful doing that. Despising authority and speaking evil of dignities, don't do that. That's dangerous. And Jude 1:9 says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. He did not dare bring against the devil a railing accusation, but he said, the Lord rebuke thee. Why? Because Michael understood authority. He realized, I'm an angel, you're an angel, a fallen one. But I'm not coming against you in my own power or my own authority, but the Lord rebukes you. And so, don't come against people in your own authority. Don't say God is with you when God's not with you. God's not with you in what you're doing. Now, if you're loving, giving, forgiving, being at peace, then God is with you, because that's what God's will is. That's what God wants. When you're railing against authority, when you're railing and speaking evil of dignities, it's not right. Woe unto them. Actually, it says, for they speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. It gives three men. Again, the Old Testament is given as something for us to look to in the New Testament to say, don't be like those people. Every story in the Old Testament is given to us for a reason. That's why it's important to know these stories. And to say, hey, that fire was not just it was not just a metaphor, but it was real fire. And that you will face the same real fire if you don't repent and change and ask Jesus to forgive you and make Him your Lord and Savior. The same thing will happen to you that happened to Cain. What did Cain do? Cain didn't say, God, what do you want? Cain had his own way and said, he told Abel, you don't have to offer no meat sacrifice. Vegetables are fine. And then he was jealous and mad whenever God didn't honor his gift. That wasn't what God wanted. Don't give God Chinese when he asks for Italian. It wasn't what God wanted. He said, and there's a specific reason. God's never just generally says something just off the whim. He said, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. It had to be blood. But Cain thought, it doesn't have to be blood. We don't have to do that. I know people that all the time, you don't have to tithe. Okay, Cain. Don't get jealous and want to kill me when I'm blessed and you're not. Come on. If you're doing evil, then why are you all jealous? Cain. And then he said also, Balaam. Don't be like Balaam. Balaam was trying to curse who God had blessed. And Balaam was like, but there's a lot of money in this for me. If I just go curse these people. And he went to God and said, God, can I curse these people, please? And God's like, no, I'm calling them blessed. And then Balaam's like, well, I'm sorry, y'all. God wants them blessed. And they're like, we'll give you more money. He said, more money? Hang on. Let me go back. God, they're giving me more money. I mean, there's a lot of money on the line here. If I can just curse these people that you want blessed. Don't go against God's will no matter what. I don't care if your life is on the line. Don't go against God's will. Don't go against what God said. And then you had Korah. Korah who came against Moses and Aaron. And Korah told all the congregation, there's nothing special about Moses and Aaron. Who do they think they are? God will receive our worship just as much as any of the other priests. They weren't even priests. They were just Levites. And they said, God, and again, this is Jude, New Testament, one of the last books of the Bible, telling us, don't do this. Because what will happen to you if you are rebellious and you say, oh, it don't have to be the way that God said it had to be. You're in danger. Be careful. You're in danger of hellfire. What happened to them? Well, you know the story where they came with their... Moses said, all right, what do we do, God? These people are saying that they can be just as powerful and as authority as we are. What do you say, God? And God said, all right, tell them to go ahead and bring their censers and bring their get their fire ready to offer incense to me. And y'all all come up here together. So Moses said, oh, okay, well, hey, whoever wants to challenge authority, come on up. And they all came there and they've got their now we're priests too. God's called us forward. And then God said, okay, now everybody get away from these guys because I'm about to destroy them all. He told Moses and Aaron, y'all get away because I'm going to destroy the whole congregation. And Moses said, whoa, 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 hey, God, God, please. He said, would you destroy the whole congregation? It's really this one guy that's really the one that's instigated all of this. There's a ringleader here. And God said, okay, I'll tell you what, him and Dathan, and I think, who was it?
Abiram.
Abiram and Dathan. He said, these three are the main ones, so everybody get away from them. And then Moses said, okay. And then he said, listen, y'all, if I'm not supposed to be the one in authority and these people are the ones in authority, then let them die a natural death of old age and just die. But if they are wrong and I am supposed to be in authority and they are supposed to submit to authority and that's the way God wants it, then let the ground open up and swallow them. And it did. Let them die an unnatural death, supernatural, and they fell down into a pit. Again, another type of hell. And the Bible in Jude says, don't be like that. Now, I don't know anyone here that's like that, but I'm saying you got to guard yourself against that kind of stuff. Be careful. You don't just flippantly go to a judge and tell him something. I have a friend, a person that used to be on staff here, his dad was a lawyer. Had been seen many cases. And he was telling me one day that there was a guy who was in the courtroom. He was being tried, and the judge slammed the gavel down and sentenced him to 4 years in prison. And the guy, just being rebellious and disrespectful to authority, said, "I could do that standing on my head." And the judge goes, 8 years. He didn't say anything after that. He's going to be on his head for a long time. You don't just flippantly be disrespectful to authority. That's something really everybody needs to remember. And God is our ultimate authority. I would say pick a fight, as Pastor Bob Nichols has said, and I listen whenever he speaks. And I've used many things that he has said in my lifetime. And he has said many times, pick a fight with anybody, but don't pick a fight with God. Call anybody a liar, but don't call God a liar. So, is your house in line with what God wants? Is your life, is your heart in line with what God wants? Are you doing what God wants? Or are you doing what you want? We live in a free country, which is nice, and I'm so thankful. Tony, you can go ahead and come on up if you would, please, sir. Thank you. I thank God we live in a free country where we can have freedoms and the abilities to do not whatever we want, but whatever God wants. Isn't that awesome? That's why the pilgrims came to the United States in the first place, to the new country, to the new land, was to be able to worship God the way He wanted them to. Because they were under bondage. But don't use our freedom to serve the devil or to serve ourselves. God says, okay, now you're free. What are you going to do? I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You can kind of find out where you're at when you ask yourself, what could I do if I could do anything I wanted to do? If I could do anything I wanted to do, what would I do? It should first of all involve, well, I would talk to God first. I would have to say, God, I want to do what you want me to do. But if God asked me, what do you want to do? That's a different story. Because if God says, what do you want to do? Then I would tell him, hey, this is what I would love to do. But whatever you want me to do is what I'll do. And God will let you do what you want to do. The Bible says He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's a blessing. To say, wow, for God to say, hey, but you need to submit to Him first. And say, Lord, what do you want me to do? He might tell you, hey, I want you to work here. I want you to go here, do this, do that. Most of the things in my life that God has had me to do, I did not want to do at first. My flesh didn't want to. I had to go against my flesh's will and go ahead and just say, okay, God. It's kind of like Peter. He didn't want to throw the net out. We fished all night and caught nothing. We're going to have to make another mess. We're going to have to clean up. But nevertheless, it's your will. It's your word. I'm going to throw it out there anyway, just because you want it. I'll do it because you want it. And then boom, this huge catch of fish. He says, now I'm going to teach you how to be a fisher of men. And look at the authority that Peter became. Look what God did with him. Praise God. He is holy God. He is a holy God. And He has to be worshipped like that. He has to be respected and honored and revered like that. And I'll say His ministers need to be honored and respected and revered like that. I don't say that at all in any way to be self-serving. I mean, I'm an usher. I'm a youth minister. I can put cones in a parking lot. I can run sound. I can do whatever. I'm not saying that because I'm saying people ought to honor minister as a minister, but just that there are ministers in the earth that we have to be respectful of and honor as God's servants. And I believe God's calling us back to a place where men of God are honorable. There has been a time where people have taken advantage of that and they've not been honorable. There have been some preachers, just like there's been bad government. It took a long time for America to get over the whole Nixon administration. There were like 40-something of those people went to prison because of what they did. And so people lost trust in the government. And they haven't really gotten it back over the years. But I believe God's calling us to a place where, you know what, I believe we can honor people that are honorable. And at least honor the authority and the title. What does God want? God wants us to honor His servants. God wants us to honor His angels. God wants us to honor the Holy Spirit and to welcome the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, you're the only Spirit in my house. There's no other Spirit in my house that I submit to but Your Spirit. There's no other ghost I let in my house but the Holy Ghost. There's no other ghost I'm expecting to show up but the Holy Ghost. There's no other ghost I'm exposing my children to except the Holy Ghost. And see, when you get things the way God wants it and you get things in order, things are done decently and in order in your life, and you say, God, how do you want it? And you set things the way God wants it. Then God manifests. See, He's everywhere, but He's not manifest everywhere. You want Him to manifest right now in your life? He can manifest in healing. He can manifest in prosperity and blessing. He can manifest even supernaturally in light that just shines from you, where your shadow as you walk by heals people. Do you want God to manifest in your life? Hallelujah. Lord, we thank You for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in this place tonight. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus, for Your manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Just close your eyes and just receive right now that manifestation of the Holy Spirit. If you need to repent, if you have any strife or any bitterness toward a believer or non-believer, just let that go right now. Just release that forgiveness. Don't hold that against them. Let the Lord handle it. You say, well, what they did to me was wrong. Hey, let God handle it. He'll handle a lot better than you would. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. As you turn it over to God, God's healing you. There's somebody here right now that you have a physical ailment in your body as a result of unforgiveness in your heart that you've held on to. You've given place to the devil. And if you'll release that and let that go, you'll feel that just lift off and that healing will take place. In fact, I would find a way to bless them. If anything, just through your words, just say, God bless them. Lord bless them. God help them. You know, the second you step out of this body and you walk in the gates of heaven, You wish everybody was blessed as you are. So you can just go there right now in the Spirit. Just say, Lord, give me heaven on earth. Heaven on earth is where you don't hold any more grudges against anybody. Where you just let it go and you just breathe easy. No more tension in you. But did you hear what? You know, you're just like, I don't care what they said. You get drunk in the Holy Ghost. You don't care what people say to you. You're just happy. You're just joyful. You love people anyway. Can we sing that song? Holy, holy. Let's just worship Him for a moment.
Are you Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. You are
just telling God what you want, ask Him what He wants. Ask Him, what do you want? Supernatural power of God on your life. That is, it's more powerful, I think, than you realize, or even that people realize that are here. And as you were singing, there's a gift, there's an anointing, and that's to be used. And ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? Don't just think, well, this is what I'm going to do because this is what I want to do with my voice or with the giftings God's given you. Ask God, Lord, what do you want me to do with this? And He'll tell you. He'll open doors. And I know sometimes you're sitting there thinking, well, I would do something if God gave me something to do. I would do it. He knows I would. But ask Him, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then pursue that. Because I believe He's got things for you that are powerful. He's got open doors, and I know there's been more words spoken over you probably than could fill this Bible. but I just ask the Lord, what do you want? What do you want for me, God? What do you want me to do? And God will speak to you. He'll open doors for you. I'm just going to lay hands on you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we just thank you, God, for that gifting to come forth, God. Lord, in a powerful way, God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, in a supernatural way, God. Lord, we thank you for a supernatural drawing, God, on her, on that gift and anointing that she has. In Jesus' name. It's increased. It's increased. That surgery wasn't just nothing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, band, God has things for y'all that are so much more than what you're doing now. And what you're doing now is awesome, and it's wonderful, and it's great. I mean, y'all are some of the best musicians I've ever known. I've known quite a few. But I'll say there's more for you than what you're even seeing now. And this morning, I don't know if it was the suit, but you crossed into a new level this morning. I felt like you just, during that lead, you were playing that lead this morning, and you just crossed over into a new level. Yes. And it's more than just talent and ability, and those things are wonderful, but there's an anointing and there's a power, and I would say and just encourage you to say, God, what do you want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do with this that you've given me, this power, this anointing? Because the anointing comes for a reason. And I believe he's got something more powerful for you than you even realize. Something impacting the world. Hallelujah. We're blessed. We really are blessed to have these musicians. That's a blessing from the Lord. Hallelujah. Johnny's already doing what the Lord says, what God wants. When I grow up, I want to be like Johnny. You know, many times, Johnny, the Lord speaks to me about you. And it's always good. It's always good. And it's always a pleased, God is pleased with you. God shows me things you do to say, walk in that way. You see that? Follow that example. Follow that leading. Imelda, you too. I'm telling you, God knows and God sees. When you ask God, Lord, what do you want? When you just do what he says, it's amazing what God will do. And just like John the Baptist, he didn't know after the messengers left that Jesus said, there's been none, not anybody more greater than John the Baptist. He never knew that till he got to heaven. But who knows what God's saying about you that you don't know? But you're like, wow, boy, that would look good on my resume. Say, man, God said that about me? Hallelujah. Tony, you too. You too. You're here for such a time as this. I believe there's something greater coming to the worship. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's a recording project. I think that would be awesome. It's something to pray about. A recording project or a song. Even a single. Even just a single would be awesome. But I believe it's time for just to say, God, what do you want? You know, if it's something God says to you, then go for it. Just start moving out in that direction, you know? And it'll flow, it'll work, it'll flow through authority. Pastor Bob will say, hey, that's God or that's not. You got to learn how to know how to flow through authority. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Charlie and Lori. Sure love you guys. Appreciate you. say the same thing about Johnny. God spoke to me many times about y'all. And he said the same thing. Always pleased. Always look at how that works. Notice that. David, Janet, y'all too. And God's been speaking to me about y'all a lot lately. And he's just been, I've been praying for you. And I know you're precious in God's sight. And his hand is with you. He's on you. He's leading you. I know you're in between assignments right now. But God's at work in you. And don't.